T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Buick GMC Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dotto Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is!
The Alex Dotto Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Streaming on the internet at WQAM.com. If you'd like to get in this evening, talk some football, talk some basketball. Pat Riley spoke today. Heat start training camp next week. Media day coming up on Monday for the Miami Heat. Canes in action this weekend. Dolphins in action this weekend. If you want to get in via the phone lines and share your infinite wisdom with us, you can always do that at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Pound 560 on your cellular, or you can text us at 56022. On the plumbers 911.com text line, but please don't text and drive. Has Heat Twitter like lost their mind today? So all that I see on social media, and I shouldn't, like, I'm getting too old for this, right? I'm 33 as of a couple days ago. Should not be so focused on like trending topics and nonsense and minutia. I see everyone though freaking out today about a tiny sponsorship patch. Oh, it's so ugly. The Heat have this patch now. Because, you know, NBA teams are now allowed to sell sponsorships for their jerseys. This, I guess, is like the first step on becoming more like soccer, like finding ways to make revenue, right? And so the Heat have this sponsorship patch on their new uniforms for Ultimate Software. It's a South Florida-based software company. And I noticed that the Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press tweeted out today that the stock is way up for Ultimate Software, like a company that most of us have not heard of, but it's a South Florida-based company, wants to put their stamp on the Miami Heat. Their stock is now way up, and I see people freaking out on the internet. Oh, what have they done to my Heat jersey? This is hideous. This is ugly. It's awful. Like, have you really looked at it, and you notice that from 10, 15 feet away, you can't even tell the damn thing is there? Like, it's crazy that people will find the littlest things to complain about. Maybe it's just like for somebody like me and, you know, Eric Falero and Alex Solana on the other side of the glass, like we watch a considerable amount of soccer. So you're used to seeing, like, when you watch soccer games, soccer clubs, you know, if you just watch, like, if you're just that bro who only watches the World Cup every 4 years, you don't see this because the national team jerseys don't have it. But if you watch any club team play around the world, they've got these giant sponsorship logos on the front of the jerseys. And once you get used to seeing that, like my favorite team, Inter Milan, they've had Pirelli, the tire company, on their jerseys for 20 years, right? Everybody has a sponsorship logo on their jersey, but those are giant in soccer. You get used to that. You see a tiny patch, like on the top left corner of an NBA jersey. It's really not that big of a deal, right? And if opening the door now for more sponsorship apparel in the NBA, if that can raise revenues and allow, you know, I know that you know, people won't feel bad for these NBA players with how much money they're making. But if that allows salaries to go up and really help the league, I've got no issue with it, right? If Ultimate Software wants to sponsor the Heat, and of course, like the Celtics have GE on their jerseys for a sponsor, if you actually look at it and then you look at the way the jerseys appear from 10, 15 feet away when you really can't even notice the patches on the jersey, stop whining. It's recreational outrage. People love to complain. On a much more serious note, a story came out less than an hour ago, an ESPN report, and Aaron Hernandez's lawyer has spread this information publicly. So, of course, you know, Aaron Hernandez committed suicide earlier this year in prison, but the autopsy results are back from his brain. And I was a little bit surprised at just the extent of this, but Turns out Aaron Hernandez had a very advanced case of CTE. According to Dr. Anne McKee, the director of the CTE Center at Boston University, she concluded that the New England Patriots tight end had stage 3 out of 4 of the disease and also had early brain atrophy and large perforations in a central membrane. So, okay, let me tell you where I will not go with this story. So save me your text complaints because I'm not going in this direction. That's not what I'm doing today. I am not going to use CTE as an excuse for the guy being a murderer. Because I'm sure that there are maybe people that are still fans of his to this day, family members who are very ashamed of what he, you know, for lack of a better word, shame that he brought on his family with his actions. I'm not going to use CTE to excuse him from being a first-degree murderer, because to me, you commit premeditated murder like the Odin Lloyd and then the other murders he was accused of. Like, that to me doesn't scream CTE. If it was a crime of passion, that's one thing. You know, the murder that he was convicted of committing, to me, that's probably more than just a CTE issue. There was a lifestyle issue. There were other issues at play with Hernandez. So I am not, please don't text me, oh, Dono, it's not, he didn't commit murder because he has CTE. Don't make excuses for the guy. I'm not doing that. That's not what I'm here to do. What I am here to say, though, my takeaway from this story, that 27-year-old Aaron Hernandez had stage 3 out of 4 CTE. That freaks me out because you rarely ever get to examine the brain of a player, former player, that young, right? Because most of the brains you have coming in, the donations being made, are guys in their 60s and 70s or the junior Seau's of the world who take their own life when they're in their 40s or he was maybe close to 50 at the time when he passed away. So getting evidence now that a 27-year-old who, by the way, stopped playing professional football at age 23 when he was locked up, or I think he just turned 24, but very young man, early 20s at the time he was forced to stop playing football because he was incarcerated. But for a career to finish that young, for a professional football player to already show signs of advanced CTE stage 3 or 4, like, that's what's concerning to me. There's a lot more that I'd like to know about that disease, right? Because in all these studies you hear about, you had that the story, 110 out of 112 brains displaying CTE, but those were all brains of like high-risk guys. Those were all brains of former players whose families suspected they had problems. So it was a little bit of a tainted sample, so to speak. I think we need more of an idea as just to regular people from the general population, weekend warriors, non-athletes, people who didn't live their entire lives playing a contact sport, if just any regular old brains, people who have never been concussed in their lives, if those brains turn up with a high rate of CTE, I would like to know how the brains of football players measure compared to the brains of the general population. But based on what doctors, the Bennett Amalus of the world, will tell us about CTE, that these football players are at a much higher risk for it, to see the brain of a guy who was 27 at the time of death and 24 at the time he stopped playing football, to show CTE at that advanced of a rate, that just kind of concerns me as to how many more lawsuits may come up in the NFL, because I know the Hernandez family. Here's another part of that story from ESPN. The $20 million lawsuit filed in federal court in Boston on Thursday claims, this is Hernandez's family filing this, claims that the team and league deprived Aviel Hernandez of the companionship of her father. That's his young daughter. It is separate from the $1 billion settlement in which the league agreed to pay families of players who suffered brain damage because of repeated head trauma while playing the game of football. So, and this is why, like I said this at the time of Hernandez's death, again, like not showing sympathy for him, right? Showing sympathy, of course, for the family members he left behind, for the loved ones he left behind, but also my curiosity, because you remember that story right after Aaron Hernandez took his own life, a couple days later, his lawyer was loudly complaining that they won't give us the brain. We can't seem to recover the brain. They won't give it to us. They won't turn it over to us. They won't let us study it. We'd like to know what's going on or what was going on in that mind of his before he murdered people and before he took his own life. They wanted to know. They finally did get the brain. The full autopsy was performed, and they determined a very advanced case of CTE. So again, I'm not using this to excuse any of Aaron Hernandez's actions, right? That's not an issue for me. Horrible, horrible things he did. There's no excusing that. But as a football fan, I do take some concern in the idea that somebody so young whose career was cut so short could have that level of CTE. And here's another thing we don't know. A texter writes in, how much of CTE is caused by painkillers? Is that a factor at all? Or if you do have early signs of CTE, can painkiller addictions worsen that? Those are things that we do not know. We'll take your phone calls on the other side at 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, pound 560 on your cell, or you can text us at 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. We'll talk some Dolphins as well here this evening. I mentioned in the update, I butchered it a little bit, but the injury report today, running back Jay Ajayi did not participate, knee injury. Well, I don't even want to use the word injury. This is maintenance. It's not a knee injury. This is not something that's going to jeopardize Jay Ajayi for Sunday. He's going to play. He is going to play. But given the compressed nature now of the Dolphins season and given how important a healthy Jay Ajayi is all year long, you're going to see some of these maintenance days for a guy like Jay. So he is going to play this weekend. So is Jarvis Landry, who was on the injury report for a knee. He didn't participate yesterday, was limited today. He told reporters this afternoon, I am definitely playing this weekend. Same thing with Devontae Parker, who did not participate today with an ankle. A lot of these guys are getting maintenance days. The one that I would worry about, and some of you might say, oh, well, we're better off if this guy doesn't play. Well, you do want depth, right? Even if you're not a fan of Jordan Phillips, right? Because Jordan Phillips, disappointing, underwhelming player, underperforms on a consistent basis, but he is nursing an ankle and he was in a walking boot today. So it's not guaranteed. You don't know this until later in the week. There's no guarantee he doesn't play, but I think that's the only realistic concern you would have on the injury report, because a lot of these other guys, from Pouncey to Ajayi to Jarvis Landry, Devontae Parker, they're taking it easy this week because they got a little nicked up, a little banged up in the Chargers game. They're all going to play this Sunday. I'm not sure if Jordan Phillips will play this Sunday. Now, great opportunity for Davin Godshaw, the rookie out of LSU, who's been, I think, one of the pleasant stories coming out of camp in the early part of the season. Guy's been working hard, right? Matt Burke was talking about how hard he's been working and actually used a word that we probably can't use on the radio to describe just how seriously Davin Godshaw has taken this opportunity. Oh, man. So we'll talk some Dolphins. We'll talk some Aaron Hernandez. We'll talk about ugly sponsor logos as the Alex Nahnow Show continues till 10 o'clock here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Man, I am getting killed on Twitter and text, and rightfully so, for my stock market analysis. Like, I'm not getting killed for anything I said about Aaron Hernandez or anything I said about the Dolphins injury report. I'm getting killed for my stock market analysis. So let me amend it, because the people who are calling me out are correct. And this to me is a powerful illustration as to why I am on this radio station and not Bloomberg Radio or WIOD. Like, it's why I do a sports show. So, okay, part of this is factual. So that company, the business that is now putting the sponsor patch on the Miami Heat jerseys, it's a South Florida-based software company called Ultimate Software. They've been the talk of social media today among Heat Twitter because they placed a sponsorship patch on the Heat jerseys. I think that the patch is very small and virtually unnoticeable. Other people think it's ugly and they're tearing the integrity of the NBA and the Heat jerseys. Like, I said, stop complaining, but I did mention that as a positive consequence of this is Ultimate Software. It's now been unveiled that they are sponsoring these Heat jerseys, that, in my words, their stock has gone way up. To which the first response on Twitter was, Ultimate Software stock is up 0.5%. You call that way up? Well, okay, 0.57%. They've had an uptick in the stock today. I thought that was a big thing for them. A company I've never heard of, company many of you have never heard of, unless you're like in the software trade, that Ultimate Software, their stock is up 0.57% today. I thought that was a big deal. I'm being told, yeah, that's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I don't get the outcry here, though, Dono. I mean, it's a company that's not controversial, first and foremost.
Right.
Most people have never heard of it. And the logo is so small. It's a tiny little rectangle on the top of the jersey. Could be worse.
Yeah, like I remember, for example, like back when Kimbo Slice used to fight in Elite XC, one of his sponsors that was like right smack giant logo on the back of his shorts was CondomDepot.com. And then I remember back then, the UFC specifically banned, like, we will, because Condom Depot, they were big MMA fans. They wanted to sponsor fighters. They allowed it in Elite XC. They sponsored Kimbo Slice's shorts. But the UFC, they said, listen, like, we, people make fun of us for the rhinestones, the affliction stuff, all the skulls. Like, we can go that far, but we can't go Condom Depot far. So they turned that down. So people on Twitter are acting as if CondomDepot.com now sponsors Miami Heat jerseys. Like, it's not a controversial business, people. It's not that big of a deal. It shouldn't be. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Charlie. You're on WQAM. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, listen, tell all those people complaining about the patch, it's called capitalism, okay?
That's right. People, yeah, a bunch of communists. A bunch of commies complaining about the patch.
This is, no, I don't know if they're commies, but they're just people
level with me here. Yeah. The people complaining about the patch, they are all communists. They're North Korean sympathizers. They're Soviet. They're Soviet sympathizers. These are a bunch of commies complaining.
They're just uneducated. They're just ignorant to what the wealth in this country comes from. It comes from capitalism. Everybody's a capitalist here. We're all invested in something, pensions, everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, lighten up, man. It's a small patch. Don't worry about it. So, anyway, I want to talk about Hernandez. You're getting suckered.
How so?
Because who's got all his money? His lawyers do.
Uh-huh.
What did his family get after he died? Nothing. His lawyers raped, probably leaned his house, probably took just every nickel he had, so his family has nothing. So where do they turn? They get some unscrupulous lawyer to take tissue samples from his brain and send it off to some lab, and the lab says, oh, this guy's got a terrible case of whatever it is, the CT, whatever it's called. Terrible case. Oh my! And the guy's 23 years old.
Just to be factual here, it was examined by the CTE Center at Boston University. Like, I don't have reason to believe that they are doing anything unscrupulous.
I don't. You know, I'm just skeptical about all this stuff.
Understood.
I mean, you got punters coming out saying they had concussion problems. I mean, everybody's got their hand in the trough. His family got nothing because his lawyers took Hernandez. They raped him. They cut him down to the bone. It took everything he had, I'm sure. And his family has nothing. His daughter has nothing. So they're filing suit against the NFL. Now they're going to try to jump on this billion-dollar lawsuit, or they're going to file another lawsuit.
Yeah, they filed a separate lawsuit.
I mean, this is all about money. And nothing to do with anything else but money. It's a joke. The guy was a thug gangbanger. He was a murderer. Had nothing to do with his condition. He had to do with his culture. That's what it had
to
do with.
To which I agree.
I don't give him any slack at all. He's lucky he had good friends like Pouncey. Pouncey was a really good friend to him. It's too bad. You know, I've had friends that end up in federal prison that I tried to give direction to, and they didn't listen to me.
Yeah.
But I was still a really good friend, and I still feel very sorry for them, and they're still my friends, although I don't socialize with them anymore. You know, Pouncey was a good friend to him, and he stabbed him right in the heart, as far as I'm concerned. But don't get sucked in by all this concussion stuff. I have an old girlfriend. She's 57 years old. I dated her in high school. She's on the final leg of Alzheimer's.
Whoa.
57 years old. She never played a down of football in her life. I can guarantee you that. I know so many people that have dementia that are younger people.
No, and definitely. I mean, that can occur because of genetics, but that doesn't also mean that young men who play the game of football can't be prone to dementia for other reasons. Like genetics are for sure a factor for many others.
What's the way out of it, though? I mean, you know, I know these older guys, they used to call it getting your bell rung. Back in the game.
Yeah, Everybody was a tough guy.
Everybody was a tough guy. Now they have helmets that are incredible. They have concussion protocols. They have this, they have that. Hell, who was the tight end? Sims. He was out for half a season with a concussion protocol.
Jordan Cameron has been in concussion protocol for like 7 years.
Listen, this is a violent sport. You play it, and it's risky. There is no way the NFL should be on the hook for anybody who suffers any permanent injury playing the sport. If you don't want a chance of any type injury, concussions, spinal injuries, neck injuries, don't play.
And let me let you run on that note. And listen, I think that the big responsibility the NFL has, and if they follow this, I am at peace with it. Now, it's easy for me to say because I've never played professional football. And, you know, If my children someday decide they want to play, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it, right? Like, if I have a son, he wants to play football. I can't tell you with any certainty at this point whether I would advise him for or against it. I'll have to cross that bridge when I get to it. But I know it's easy for me to say this, but I think the responsibility the NFL has is to not suppress any information, right? As long as you educate your players and they know the risks. I think at that point, it's on them. Right. And I know why everybody is upset about when they got their bells rung in the 70s and 80s and they now have CTE because of it. They're upset because they felt like they were bamboozled, like they felt like the NFL had more information that they were hiding, that they were suppressing, and guys didn't know what they were getting into. I think as long as the NFL is very public with all the research and they keep everything on public record and guys know what they're getting into, to me, that takes away most, if not all, of their legal responsibility. And at that point, it becomes the individual's decision whether to play or not to play. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to David in K-Town. Where is K-Town? I don't know what that means.
Yo, K-Town. That's Kendall Drive, west of the Palmetto.
My neighborhood, baby. I've been a Kendall resident for over 4 years, and I never knew that we called it K-Town. I had no idea. Never heard that.
That's something, Dono. I'm actually trying to get started.
Oh, okay. So Solana went freelancing here. So I see what happened. So let me just set the table for people. When Alex Solana on the other side of the glass, when he screens the phone calls, you know, he writes the name, he writes the location, he writes a little summary of what they want to talk about, but he types that in. And I guess that David said he's from Kendall, yet Solana went off script. He went rogue and he typed in K-Town because he wants to make K-Town a thing. Well, what's on your mind, David from K-Town?
Okay, right on, man. What's up? Well, the reason I was calling was, I don't understand what the last caller had a problem with the whole Aaron Hernandez issue. We were making the joke of the American way is capitalism, right?
Yeah, well, so that's not a joke. That's for real. That's for real.
Yes. So in the United States, everybody sues everybody, so there shouldn't be a problem with the family trying to sue the NFL.
It's another good point. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You caught him being a hypocrite. Because if he is a big champion of capitalism, like Charlie clearly was, Charlie should have no problem with frivolous lawsuits. To their heart's content,
exactly.
Sue away. WhoCanISue.com.
Yeah, but on a different note, though, too, I'm being more serious, too. Look, Aaron Hernandez was murdered by someone, but that doesn't take away from the fact that he might legitimately have CTE based on the research that's being done on his brain.
Right.
And aside from that, too, you know, I agree with you, too. I mean, this, I think we're playing that slippery slope where it's a double-edged sword, because when you talk about things like CTE, I agree. If people weren't informed of what was going on, the NFL was hiding information. I mean, it's kind of like the smoking deal. You know what I mean? People mm-hmm. aren't aware of how dangerous this is. And then even if you make them aware of how dangerous it is, I'm like,
You know, I'm going to let you run because the phone connection is really bad. I think I know what he was trying to say there. And you know what? Like a lot of people, they see those warnings. Like, how many people still smoke, even though you have every indication that, hey, this could give you lung cancer or a number of other health problems? And yet plenty of people still smoke because they love it so much. And to them, the risk does not outweigh the rewards. I'm not one of those people. I've only tried a cigarette one time in my entire life. It was awesome, but I didn't try another one because I knew this could give me cancer. Like, I'm not going to condone this. This is too dangerous. I don't want to be one of these cool kids. I'm going to leave well enough alone, right? And I'm sure that there are some people who would feel that way about football, but a lot who wouldn't. A lot of people who would know the risks and keep playing anyway. But that is your right as an American. That is your right in a free country. If you know all the risks and still say, you know what, creating a better life for my family, playing a game that I love, playing a game that I'm really good at and making millions of dollars doing it, to me, the juice is worth the squeeze, right? To me, the risk of dementia or CTE 30, 40 years down the road, that is worth me providing a better life for my family and playing the game that I love right now. Speaking of the game that I love, football, we'll hear from Miami Dolphins head coach Adam Gase when we come back here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. You know, I was having like a random oysters and seafood conversation with somebody on the plumbers911.com text line at 56022. Don't text and drive, by the way. But then I realized I was talking about oysters, and I responded to the wrong person. So, like, one of our listeners just, like, randomly got a text from me about how much I love oysters, and they have no idea why. So I apologize for the confusion. Continue with the rest of your evening. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. You can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Adam Gase addressed the media today. And don't worry, there will be a little more Lawrence Timmons sound. When does that go away? If we can take some bets on that for entertainment purposes only, right? Because I'm sure that, if Lawrence Timmons, ends up getting reinstated in a week or two, more questions will come up. Or if you ride out this entire four-game suspension without pay, at what point will people stop talking about Lawrence Timmons? I don't know. But here is Adam Gase first on something completely different, talking about his team's ability of closing out winning so many of these close games.
I think we have enough guys that have been through those type of situations. That's kind of the learning aspect of the game. You know, when you're trying to keep a core of guys together, and which we were able to really do for the most part from last year, I think that is something that can carry over where you get to the fourth quarter and there's that belief that, you know, guys are going to make plays. You know, you can count on the guy next to you to do his job so you can do yours instead of worrying about, well, can I trust this guy to do this? And, you know, just watching that fourth quarter, when you watch it from special teams, offense, defense, you see a lot of good things. You see a lot of different guys stepping up and making plays.
I can imagine it must be like a really mentally empowering feeling to think, okay, fourth quarter, we're down by three, we're down by six, we're going to come back and win this thing, right? Instead of, you remember Dolphins teams of the past, the Philbin coach teams, the Sperano coach teams, the Cam Cameron coach teams, the later years of the Wanstead coach teams. Anytime it was a close game, like bad teams, mediocre teams, and the Dolphins were mediocre or bad for many years, they would find a way to lose those close games. Whereas this Dolphin team, a little over a season now under Coach Gase, has found a way to edge out these close games. And here is Gase expanding on that a little bit, saying that, you know, player experience is also a factor in these tight games.
I think a lot of it is experience. You know, sometimes it just takes one guy to make one play that kind of really gets guys believing. You know, even thinking back, as interesting as the Cleveland game was, you know, found a way to get into overtime, and then Jarvis makes a play. You know, Jay ends up scoring. And then going to the Jets game, you know, last year at home, where, you know, a guy like Drake, who's a rookie, you know, takes a kickoff return back. You know, it just might take one or two guys that just do something special at the right time that gets everybody thinking that you can win those games in the fourth quarter.
Hey, I mentioned at the top of the show with the Dolphins injury report that who appeared on it today, Jay Ajayi did not participate, listed for a knee. I suspect it's more of a maintenance thing than anything else. Jarvis Landry was limited today with a knee. Ray Maualuga, I mean, I don't know when he's going to be ready to play, did not participate with the hamstring. Devontae Parker did not participate today with an ankle. Here is Adam Gase, and Jarvis Landry, as I mentioned, limited today, didn't participate yesterday. Here is Gase when asked if there are, like, real significant injury concerns for Jay Ajayi and Jarvis Landry.
No, I wouldn't say serious, but, I mean, they both, you know, got banged up a little bit in that last game. I know Jay, there was a couple where he got really off. He was off his feet one time where he got spun around in the air there and took a pretty vicious hit. Jarvis had a couple where he took some shots. And, you know, it's probably a little more preventative than anything.
And remember, the Dolphins are going to be, I think, more kind of assertive with their rest days, their maintenance days this year, since they don't have a bye week to look forward to. I mean, their bye week was week one. So when you got guys, either players who are older or more injury prone, like Cameron Wake and Mike Pouncey, or players who are younger but carry an insanely heavy workload, like Jay Ajayi and Jarvis Landry, I think players like that, you're going to have just maintenance days, rest days kind of built into the regular practice schedule, because you know you're not going to have that actual bye week to heal some of those wounds coming up later on. So here is Gase on that, how they handle the rest days for players since they don't have that bye week.
Probably the first thing that we started doing was looking at the calendar, kind of seeing where we can make some adjustments. You know, we might lose, you know, some of these Mondays where you're used to meeting and going through the game. It might be, hey, let's get in here, let's get our lift in, let's get our run in, and then you send them off, and maybe you make Wednesday a little longer just so, you know, we can cover what we need to from the game. Try to steal some days here and there if you can. You know, it's there's ways to do it. You just got to try to figure out what's the right way for us.
And here is Gates. I thought this was pretty interesting. It's like he had like a couple more days to kind of marinate on this, because you remember coming out of, you know, Sunday's win against the LA Chargers, there were plenty of criticisms to come out of that game, right? Play calling was very buttoned up and conservative in the first half. The defense struggled against the pass more so than against the run, but, you know, Phillip Rivers is going to do that to a lot of teams. And, you know, the timeouts weren't always, it seemed like they were used a little strangely by Gase at times. But coming out of that game, Gase did say, I was off with my play calling, right? But didn't really expand on it a whole lot. He did expand on it quite a bit today on why he felt he was off calling plays.
It was one of those situations, it was almost like I wasn't believing kind of how they were playing us. I was waiting for Gus to kind of take the next step, and he stuck with what he was doing. And I should have just believed what I was seeing and just got to the things that, you know, we could attack the coverages they were playing. And I think I was just waiting for him to take, you know, whatever he had off of that, you know, if it didn't work. So I think I wasn't giving our guys a good chance. I was just doing things in the first half that was just didn't let them just go play, win one-on-one matchups. We were just doing too schematical crap, you know, instead of just saying, all right, hey, Devontae, go win. Jarvis, go win. Kenny, go win. You know, so I think we got to that in the second half. You know, that's really probably the biggest thing was I felt like I held our guys back.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to do that again. He at least, like, Gase seems to be pretty accountable for the mistakes he makes, and he does seem to adjust and learn from those things, like making adjustments. It's nice. I heard Big O ranting and raving about this today. How great is it to have a head coach of your Miami Dolphins who actually makes halftime adjustments and makes game-to-game adjustments, right? Then a texter wrote in the same thing. He seems to be able to adjust, which is a sign of a great coach, in my opinion. You know what? We're going to shift some of the focus a little bit later in the show to the Miami Hurricanes. We'll talk more Dolphins in the upcoming segment, though. We'll hear more from Adam Gase, and we'll hear from defensive coordinator Matt Burke, who I really enjoy hearing this man speak. He's very, very very good soundbite created by Matt Burke. Very articulate, makes a lot of sense. He has a real knack for putting complicated football issues into layman's terms, right? Like, for those of us who don't live and die with the X's and O's, as most people who don't play the game professionally are not in that boat, like, I think Matt Burke, who's clearly a very intelligent football mind, does a nice job breaking it down in simpler terms to understand. So I do want to, though, give away a pair of Hurricanes tickets. Right, I know we got some loyal listeners who have been trying to win these tickets all week. If you are caller number 5 right now to the contest line, that's 1-800-227-0560. Caller number 5 right now to the contest line at 1-800-227-0560 wins a pair of tickets to see the Miami Hurricanes taking on the Toledo Rockets this Saturday, September 23rd at Hard Rock Stadium. I'm so glad Hurricanes football is coming back. So if you're calling number 5 to 1-800-227-0560, you win a pair of Miami Toledo tickets for this Saturday, 3:30 p.m. at Hard Rock Stadium. And I want to talk about our friends at the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. So if you're not watching a game in person, the Quarterdeck is the next best thing. In fact, sometimes the Quarterdeck is the best place to watch a game, period. It's always the best place to watch a UFC pay-per-view fight, which includes UFC 216 coming up in early October. Because the Quarterdeck, they have every UFC pay-per-view for zero cover charge. You pay nothing at the door. And the experience is so great when you're watching a big game or you're watching a big fight at the Quarterdeck. The drink specials are amazing. 2-for-1 happy hour all day, every day. And these are quality drinks, folks. They don't skimp on the liquor, which is great. They don't water down the 2-for-1 drinks. And they have a great selection of craft cocktails at the Quarterdeck designed by their spirit master. I could probably try a new one every day for months. So good at the Quarterdeck. The wine selection is impressive. The food is delicious. I love the seafood, the oysters and Maine lobster, fresh mahi. The sushi is world class at the Quarterdeck. If you're not a seafood guy, the chicken wings are really tasty, really, really good, really great way to start a meal. The chicken ciabatta sandwich with fresh mozzarella cheese and tater tots on the side. Oh, I'm making myself hungry now. Chicken ciabatta sandwich is great. Build your own burger with tons of fresh toppings. The turkey burger is fantastic. The baby back ribs are tender. The meat falls right off the bone. And also, you want to save some room for dessert because the key lime cheesecake at the quarter deck, that is the perfect way to finish every meal. What you want to do is find your location. Find the location nearest to you by visiting them on the web at quarterdeckrestaurants.com. Because the quarter deck is where you come for the food and stay for the fun.
This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.